I want to greet you all in the matchless name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for this beautiful Sunday morning that the Lord has given to us. We have been going through the study of the book of James, and we have already covered four different areas. The first week, we got an overview or a survey of the book of James. The second week, we learned about how we will deal with trials as they come in our lives. The third week, we learned about how we will deal with temptations as they come in our lives. And the last Sunday, we learned about how we will deal with God's word as it speaks to us, whether we are going to be hearer or a doer of God's word as God speaks to us. Today we are going to go into the second chapter of the book of James, as we are going to study James chapter 2. We are going to look into verses, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, where we are going to deal with the principle called partiality. If you have your handouts with you, I would like you to open it up. The lesson that God wants to talk to us is that we should not show any partiality. Don't show partiality in your life. When you start with the chapter, chapter 2, one of the things that Apostle James is telling us is that partiality is wrong. It is wrong because it goes on, if it goes in any part of our life, if we are partial, it is wrong. It is a sin before God. The key words of the lesson today is from verse number 9, Ambadanta Vakyam, as in the Aditya Bhagam. We read that if you show, James is saying like this, if you show partiality, you are committing sin. Namada paavam cheyva when we show partiality. So we need to think about this. Now James is a part of the Bible. We are not teaching out from a different Bible or from a different book. James, the book of James, is a very practical book in the Bible. And James is introducing us many things in our life that we tend to do. We think it is not spiritual, quote unquote, but it is very practical. So James introduces us to the principle of partiality in verse number 1. Then he is illustrating it in verse number 2 to 4. He is explaining his illustration in verses 5 to 11. And finally he applies it in verses 12 to 13. So let me start with stating the principle of partiality. The first verse, where James is saying that, do not hold the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with partiality. The first thing we need to understand is partiality is not compatible with our faith in Christ. It is not compatible. Just like oil and water doesn't mix together, partiality does not mix with our faith in Jesus Christ. If we are truly the disciples of Christ, we will not show any partiality. The second thing that we read here is that we should not be partial based on outward appearances. When you look at somebody from the outside, don't form an opinion and don't be partial just looking at the outside, because this is not reflective of God's character. We cannot be partial based on external face values. If a person is very rich, if a person has an expensive car, has a lot of money in the bank, wearing some nice clothes, smelling good with good perfume, we cannot be partial to that person and show a different kind of a behavior to somebody who doesn't have all of these. Now, the next part of it is illustrating. James is illustrating the principle of partiality. Chapter 2 and verses 2 to 4. The setting, I want to give you the setting. I don't want to go into the verses in detail. But what James is showing is that we may show partiality in a worship service. He is bringing out a worship service. And imagine that you are an usher standing at the door. He says, let's just imagine somebody came in a Cadillac car, wearing an expensive suit, smelling good, he's an honorable man, he's a leader in the community, church, put him at the main seat, and right after him a poor man comes in with tattered clothes, smelling bad, a homeless guy. He comes into the door and you tell, okay, you sit there at that corner. Sit, don't take a chair. Sit down at that corner. If you say like that, what James is saying is that we are showing partiality, especially in a worship setting. We cannot show partiality in our worship service. Everybody should be treated equally, because everybody is equal in the sight of God. Whether male or female, whether old or young, we need to treat people with respect because they are precious in the sight of God. Number two, the reason we are partial because of our evil motives. What in verses 4, James is saying that two things are clarified here. What was done? You showed a discrimination to somebody based on their appearance. You exalted one, you mistreated the other. This is something that you have done. Why you did it? What was the reason? Because you have an evil motive. You know, as human beings, we are very selfish people. We form relationships, we form friendships, we like to talk to people. All the time in the back of our mind is, what can I get out of that? In the marketing terms, there is an acronym called WIIFM, which means, what is in for me? If I talk to somebody, I spend a few minutes to talk to somebody, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what do I get out of it? Oh, he's somebody who can help me down the road, so let me talk to him. That is a wrong way. It is out of pride that we are doing it. It is out of contempt. We should never go into that kind of dealing with people. James is totally against that. Next one, we come to how James is explaining the principle of partiality. Once he illustrates the partiality, James is explaining in more detail. In verses 5 to 11, we see that there are four things that James is mentioning about partiality. Number one, partiality is inconsistent with God's standards. You know, God has a standard how He deals with people. When we are partial, we are inconsistent with the standards that are set by God. You know, God is completely impartial. If you read the book of Acts, you can take down this verse there, Acts chapter 10, verse 34, where Peter speaks about that God does not show partiality. God is totally impartial. The gospel of Jesus Christ is available to the poor people as much as it is to the rich people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25 to 29 speaks that God has chosen the foolish to shame the wise. God has chosen the weak to shame the mighty. God has chosen the base and the despised people, because no flesh should get the glory that is due unto God. God is never a partial person. When we show partiality, many times we tend to stick around with some people we like. We tend to ignore other people who are not part of our modern or upbringing thinking. But let me tell you what the Word of God tells us, that we cannot show partiality to one person and not to the other. The second thing that I want to mention is, partiality ignores the fact that everyone is a sinner. Verses 6 and 7, it says that we are all sinners. There is nobody who is above sin. Whether you are rich or whether you are poor, in the sight of God, we are all sinners. Let me tell you, in the church, we are all sinners who come to the church, who are saved by grace, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we are part of the body of Christ, but we are all sinners. When God looks at us, He doesn't care about a few thousand dollars or even a million dollars in the bank. The Word of God says the entire world is His. The city on a thousand hills, the cattle folk, everything belongs to God. For Him, there is no one rich or poor. God does not show any partiality. And we should not also show partiality. Especially James is saying, don't show partiality to the rich people, because in those days, the rich people were the ones who were persecuting the poor people. So don't show partiality. The third thing he says, James is saying in verses 8 and 9, partiality is against what God's word is declaring to us. You know, let me tell you, God's word, what does it declare? Leviticus chapter 19 verse 18, God said, and James is quoting that verse here. He says, this is the king of all laws. should love our neighbors as ourselves. Those who came last Wednesday night for a Bible study, we spoke about a lot about loving people. This is not a new commandment, this is an old commandment. So this is the law of love. Everything that we do should be based out of love, because this is the king of all laws. And when we break this law, we are committing sin before God. The fourth thing that it says is that partiality will make us guilty of the God's whole law. Many people think that committing a murder, committing an adultery, committing idolatry is bigger sins, but in the sight of God, every sin is a sin. If you commit partiality, you are as much a sinner as somebody who is on the death row, who has committed adultery, who has killed people. We are all sinners before God. So if you break the small part of God's law, you are guilty of all. So verses 10 and 11, it says that partiality will make us guilty of God's whole law. Let me come to the final part of the study today, which is applying the principles of partiality. How do we apply that in our lives? Verses 12 to 13. Number one, the first way how we need to apply is let the Bible be our means of judging other people. Don't go by your heritage. Don't go by the traditions. Don't go by the health of a person. Look to the Bible. Let the scriptures be our standard of living and dealing with others. This is the only one standard that God has given us. And in this standard, everybody is treated equally. Number two, let love be our motive in dealing with others. Above everything, love should come in our life. If we cannot display the love of God, the agape love, the sacrificial love, let me tell you, all our religion is in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says, if you don't have love, you don't have anything. So our motive in dealing with people should be the love of God. Devas Neham, the love that should come out from our heart where we love other people, even people who are speaking against us. Love that person. Turn the other cheek. Try to help people. Pray for them. Do good to people who hurt you. That should be our motive in dealing with other people. Lastly, let mercy be our message in serving others. Let mercy. You know, as James concludes this passage, James is saying one very important statement that I want you to think about. In the last part of verse number 13, James says like this, mercy triumphs over judgment. You know, God is a righteous judge, but He is also a merciful God. And the greatest example of how mercy triumphed over judgment is seen on the cross of Calvary. Look at Jesus hanging on that cross. You know, God, because He is righteous, He condemned us to death, eternal death and suffering. But because God is a merciful God, He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross, who took our suffering, who died that death on the cross. His mercy triumphed over judgment. Let us stop judging people. Let us stop our attitude of criticizing and putting down people. Let mercy be our attitude. We are all sinners saved by grace. Nobody is a saint in this world. We are all sinners, but we are living by the grace of God. The greatest example of mercy is look at Jesus. Look at the love. When we were sinners, when we were ungodly, He died for us on the cross. What greater mercy can we see? And we should reflect the same mercy in our life. Can we close our eyes for a moment before the lesson of James? Are you showing any kind of partiality in the way that you speak to people? In the way you criticize people? In the way you deal your daily life? James says, this is the works that should come out of your life. Let love be your motive. Let Bible be your standard. Let mercy triumph over the critical mentality that is there in your life. Can you surrender your heart before God? Because God is looking at our hearts. He doesn't look at our outside. Let us pray, God, make me more like You, Jesus. I need to learn so much. I need to grow so much in You. Make me more like You. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for this beautiful Sunday morning. Lord, thank You for speaking to us, Lord. Lord, let us never be partial. I pray.